Hello, podcast listeners. This is Dr. Fred Rivera. I'm here with Nikki Azer, who is a PhD student and is part of our Center for Viral Injury Prevention. We have an interesting podcast today and a recent paper that was published in the American Journal of Public Health called The Association Between Thinking a Lot Redevelopment and Violent Firearm Violent Crime, A Difference in Difference Analysis from 2007 to 2023. So given what's been done on this topic by folks at Penn, why did you undertake this study?
Yeah, so the researchers at Penn have a lot of really interesting papers out on vacant land restoration strategies for crime prevention. And most of these papers have focused on vacant lot greening, which usually involves removing trash, mowing and landscaping, etc. But redevelopment, which is the main exposure in this paper, has less often been studied as a violence prevention technique. So given that previous research has found both that vacant lot greening and housing repair interventions have reduced crime and violence, it follows that redevelopment of these vacant lots into permanent structures, such as housing, may also reduce violence. So we decided to examine the effects of vacant lot redevelopment and violent crime and firearm violent crime, as they could provide insight into potential mechanisms through which intervening on the built environment could help reduce crime in certain places.
So tell me about the study design a little bit. You know, I know that you're an epi graduate student right now, and you're very much into methods. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about the study design.
Yes, always happy to talk about study designs. So we conducted a quasi-experimental staggered difference in difference study to assess the relationship between vacant lot redevelopment with violent crime in Philadelphia from 2007 through 2023. So our exposure was vacant lot redevelopment, and our outcome was violent crime and firearm violent crime reported to the police. For the redevelopment exposure, we created two different definitions. So our primary redevelopment definition included housing and business structures and tested the hypothesis that investment prevents or displaces crime. And the secondary redevelopment definition included housing and business structures, and then additionally permanent structures such as garages or sheds and fences such as chain linked or wooden fences. So this expanded redevelopment definition tested the hypothesis that physically restricting access to the vacant lot may prevent or displace violence. So next, for the outcome, we divided violent crime into four subtypes in line with the Uniform Crime Reporting Program: homicide, aggravated assault, robbery, and rape. We then separated firearm violent crime to obtain subtypes for firearm homicide, firearm aggravated assault, and firearm robbery. And there were no instances of firearm related rape in our data set. And then finally, we included an overall violent crime outcome and an overall firearm violent crime outcome. And so then for the analysis, we estimated the association between redevelopment and violent crime using a difference in difference design with a staggered estimator to account for redevelopment over the different years. So different lots had a structure come up in various years across the study period. In other words, we compared the change in violent crime in redeveloped lots to the change in the violent crime in lots that were not developed over the similar time span across the years.
Great. Now, one of the things that we all confront is getting adequate data. So tell us a little bit about the data sources you use. How do you found them?
So first, to obtain our vacant lot data set, we used Open Data Philly Building Demolition Data Set, which is an open access data set on the Philly website, to identify vacant land parcels. And then to identify if and when the vacant was redeveloped, we visually audited each vacant lot using Street View imagery from Google Street View Time Machine, with the goal of identifying the first image showing redevelopment. So we removed any lots where there were one or fewer Street View images, such that we were unable to assess when the lot was redeveloped. And we also removed lots that had blurry images, such that we were unable to locate the lot or determine its status. So our final study population consisted of 254 vacant lots in the city of Philadelphia. And then to categorize our exposure, we again used the Google Street View Time Machine to identify and code the three forms of redevelopment for the analysis, which again are housing or business structures, impermeable fences, and other permanent structures. For our outcome data, we obtained it from the Philadelphia Police Department from 2007 through 2023, and we used the police codes to categorize the crimes. So then we have our vacant lot data set and then our geocoded crimes. So in order to attribute crimes to specific lots, we used kernel density estimation to generate a smooth surface of georeferenced violent crime data for each crime type and year combination. For this, we specified a bandwidth of 500 feet to reflect the hypothesized spatial influence of vacant lot redevelopment on nearby crime, and which also reflects the average size of a Philadelphia block. So this resulting surface estimate in the density of events per square mile for a given year for each violent crime and firearm violent crime subtype. So then we had these density surfaces per year per crime subtype, and these were then spatially linked to each vacant lot over the years. And then this was the data set we then used to calculate those difference in difference estimates.
And what'd you find? What were your main results?
So for the primary redevelopment definition using the housing or business structures, we found a statistically negative association between redevelopment and aggravated assault, firearm aggravated assault, and overall firearm violent crime, consistent with our hypothesis that redevelopment may prevent or displace violent crime and firearm violent crime. So, in other words, when comparing the difference between post-redevelopment and pre-redevelopment in lots that were redevelopment to lots that were not redeveloped, there was roughly a 30% decrease in aggravated assaults per year, a 31% decrease per year in firearm aggravated assaults, and around a 15% decrease per year in overall firearm violent crime. When we then expanded our redevelopment definition to include permanent structures and fences, our secondary redevelopment definition, we only found a statistically significant negative association between redevelopment and firearm homicide, with around a 30% decrease per year in firearm homicides when comparing post-development and pre-redevelopment years among those that were redeveloped, contrasted with the change during lots in that time that were not redeveloped. However, since homicide is a really rare outcome, we definitely want to interpret this with caution. So, in summary, we found that the association between vacant lot redevelopment and lower rates of aggravated assault, firearm aggravated assault, and overall firearm violent crime. However, these results did not hold when we included permanent structures and fences into the redevelopment definition. So, given that this suggests that housing or business structures hold a greater impact than fences or permanent structures, our results support the hypothesis that interventions that invest in neighborhoods may prevent or displace violent crime.
And what was the average time between the demolition and then the area redevelopment?
It definitely varied a lot, but I think it was around five to 6 years was the average time between when the vacant lot was demolished and then I guess became a vacant lot to development, but there was definitely a big spread across the study period.
So that's a pretty long period of time when you had a vacant lot there, which I assume was just vacant and not greened in any way.
That we don't know. We did not have greening status of the lots. So that definitely is something that I think future work should look into is specifically looking at was it a greened lot that was redeveloped or not. So yeah, unfortunately, that was not a variable that we included in this
Right.
analysis.
We know from the prior work from the Penn Group is that empty lots that are not greened are problematic in a community. What were the most important limitations for your study?
So I can touch on a few of the most important limitations. So first, we observed that many of the redeveloped lots were in and around the Center City District of Philadelphia, whereas the lots that were not redeveloped were spread across the city. So it is possible that redevelopment is occurring in a location where violence was already dropping. However, our parallel trends test did not indicate any violations of the parallel trends assumption, and our staggered difference in difference models did account for time trends. There still is this spatial clustering, and it's possible an exchangeability violation could lead to a biased estimate of the causal effect. Second, and maybe most importantly, the range in which redevelopment might affect violence is not super well defined, and our analytic approach could not fully account for possible spatial spillover or displacement or relocation of violence to other areas. We did do an additional analysis that found no effect of spatial spillover or displacement, but this analysis likely faces some problems in measures of displacement or diffusion. So we cannot confidently interpret our results without considering the possibility that displacement or diffusion is present.
Right. And, what do you think are the implications for communities, urban areas in particular, of your study?
So I think there's two important implications going forward. First, in terms of method, then also for the communities. So in terms of methods, I really think future work should focus on defining this nearby violence. For example, we use kernel density estimation and defined nearby violence to be a bandwidth of 500 feet around a lot. However, there are pros and cons of using densities versus counts, and the different bandwidths may have different impacts and interpretations. Additionally, developing more accurate methods for estimating displacement or spatial spillover would be useful to further pinpoint the exact impact of the intervention may or may not have. And so, secondly, for implications going forward, our results support that interventions modifying the built environment may prevent violence, consistent with a lot of the other greening work that we were discussing. So the relationship between neighborhood physical environment and violent crime is of interest to public health and the local government seeking to address these root causes of violence. And as we discussed earlier, vacant lot greening has also been shown to reduce violence. So it would be interesting for future research to further dive into the mechanisms into these two built environment interventions and how vacant lot greening and redevelopment may contrast or be complementary to one another and across the communities.
Seems like, one of the keys from this work and the prior Penn work is basically not to have a vacant lot for very long. And so even if the house is abandoned, say, is to fix the facade such that it doesn't look terribly abandoned, rather than knocking it down and then leaving a vacant lot for 4 or 5 years, which really then affects the social cohesion in a neighborhood. So it's really great work. Congratulations on doing it.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening. Please go to our website for this and other podcasts.